All right. This morning, we are going to continue in our study in the Gospel of Mark, and I want to encourage you to turn to chapter 6. If you do not have a Bible, please raise your hand. We would love for you to follow along with us as we go through the Scriptures. And if you do not have one personally, please consider that a gift from us to you. We would desire that everybody would have a copy of God's Word at all times, and especially in their time of need. And so as you're turning there, I got a couple of things I want to share with you really briefly. Number one, for all of you parents here today who have children in our nursery or in children's ministry, please know on October 22nd, okay, after the second and third service, we have some things that we want to share with you as we move forward with children's ministry, okay? Just really quickly, I want you to turn around and take a look at the sanctuary. Or if you're back, just look forward. If you're in the front, turn around and look around. Isn't it awesome to see this many people here, right? Praise the Lord. Now I want you to imagine what our children's ministry looks like. So please make sure that you are here on the 22nd, October 22nd, and it'll be a short meeting as to how we're going to move forward with ministering to the children's ministry and in nursery. So please stay behind for that. The other thing I want to share really quickly is this. We mentioned how to study your Bible workshop. I want you to know that the very gentleman who is coming to do this workshop is the same pastor and director of the Bible College that I was blessed to join this particular workshop in the Philippines. He took me under his wing and helped me to learn how to study God's Word and to equip me for ministry. And the Bible College in the Philippines, it is an amazing Bible college. If you do not know this, listen carefully. As we study through our Bible, there are five different methods in teaching the Bible. We have narratives, we have parables, we have epistles, we have Hebrew poetry, and then we have prophecy. You cannot study the Bible just with only one method because there's certain rules that you need to apply. And the reality is as we are followers of Christ, we're students of the Word. And so we want to be able to hear from God, know how to use His Word, know where to look for certain things, and of course, we are blessed that we have amazing technology that we can go on the computer, look at all kinds of different commentaries, and there's nothing wrong with that. But the reality is that when you are in a place on vacation and you don't have internet, or, as many times as I go out into the different places and I don't always take my laptop, sometimes people will say, "Hey, you're a pastor. Can you teach? Like in the next 30 minutes. Okay, Lord, it's you. It's got to be all you. But I can have some form of a layout and a format that I can follow. So I want to encourage you, come on out. You're going to be blessed. And it's Thursday through Saturday. It'll go by so quickly, but you're going to be encouraged in learning how to study through your Bible. So I want to make sure that I encourage you with that. I want to also say, I know that many of us are very familiar with what's happening in Israel right now. That nation is under attack, and they declared war against Hamas yesterday at 6 a.m. areas, and the death toll right now is roughly around 600 people and around 100 soldiers and women who have been kidnapped and target civilians in the form of your fight. And so I want us to make sure that we are definitely praying in the end times that many will come against the nation of Israel. We see a lot of natural disasters taking place. Be for it. But the other thing is, if you know the truth, though in the midst of chaos, no matter what happens, see. And this is why it's important. Stay grounded. Stay in the Word of God. Be built up, prayed up in the Spirit. Conspiracy theories, all of these things. Beloved, you got the Word of God. And we need to stick to it in order to understand. First, and then I'm going to read the Scriptures, and then we're going to get into our study. Psalm 122, verse 6 says, "Pray for the peace. I will now say, peace be within you. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good." God, that your hand of protection would be upon this nation. We ask that your hand would be upon the innocent civilians and for those who are injured or maybe those who have been kidnapped. We pray, God, please protect them and deliver them from that evil. We pray, God, that again, as this war goes on, that you would just bring an end to terrorism, that you would intervene. We've seen it in the Bible. God, you've taken a man who had such hatred toward the body of Christ, to those who called themselves Christians. You turned the Apostle Paul from a persecutor to a preacher. And you have the capability of doing that with any one of these leaders of the terrorist groups. So I pray in the power of your precious name, God, intervene. God, I pray again for the nation. I pray for those that we may know personally who are living there. We ask for their safety. We ask that you would keep them away from the crossfire and from the destruction that war brings. But we pray overall, Lord, that this would be a short circumstance that would happen and no other nations would get involved. God, I pray again, you are fully aware of all that is going on. This day did not catch you by surprise. And we know, Lord, that in the end, God, you have full reign, full power. So step up, Lord, and do what you need to do. And you will do it in justice. You will do it in a way, Lord, that reveals your character once again. So God, we ask for the peace for your nation now, and it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Mark chapter 6, let's all remain standing, looking at verse 45. Immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, where he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. Now when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land. Then he saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. Now about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. Can I get an amen for that?
Amen.
That's pretty awesome, right? Came walking to them on the sea, and it says here, they saw him walking, and would have passed by them. And when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled. But immediately he talked with them and said to them, be of good courage, it is I, do not be afraid. Then he went up into the boat to them, and the wind ceased. And they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure and marveled, for they had not understood about the loaves, because their heart was hardened. Father, we again look to you and pray. Take this study this morning and reveal yourself to us in a powerful way. God, we love you, and we lift up this time to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. As we get ready to cover this next section, in verse 45, it says immediately, in other words, without any delay, what just took place was the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 plus people. And when we look at the other gospel accounts, why is it that Jesus wanted them to leave immediately? And of course, if we look at the gospel of John, it would tell us because of this miracle that the crowd of people had a desire to take Jesus by force and make him king. This was not the right timing for Jesus to declare who he really is, but along the way, he is continuing to do miracles. He's continuing to give people opportunities such as these miracles to see that he is the Son of God, that he literally is God in the flesh. And so Jesus not only understood and knew what the crowd wanted to do, but it says that Jesus made the disciples get into the boat, and this was not a suggestion. He literally compelled them to get into the boat, to leave, to go to the other side of Bethsaida. And now I want to point out to you really quickly, if we could look at the map once again. Last week when we looked at our study, this is where they were at. And it says that Jesus told them to get into the boat, to go to the other side of Bethsaida. So it could have been anywhere along this shore here. This is all still a part of Bethsaida. So the plan was is for them to take an easy sail along the coast to anywhere in this area. But in the reality, as we go through our study today, listen carefully, keep this picture in mind. what turned out to be, what should have been an easy sail as the storm hit. Man, I've been drinking too much coffee. Look at how. Jeez, can't even keep it still. They're here. Man, I'm going to do this real quick. They're here. During the middle of the night, they're going to find themselves in here. But at the end of the story, they're going to find themselves right in here, right underneath Capernaum. And so keep this picture in your mind, not the squiggly line. You know what I'm talking about, okay? Man. Thank you. So Jesus has the disciples get into the boat. They are forced to leave while Jesus also sent the crowd away. And in verse 46, it tells us that not only are the disciples and this huge crowd of people gone, Mark tells us that it is at this time that Jesus departed to a mountain to pray. And I pray, if I could just make this little side note for us right now, it is so important that we take advantage of one of the most amazing blessings that we have, and that is to communicate with God. I am so thankful that we do not need to go through any saint. We can go directly to God. The moment that we open up our mouth and we begin to pray to Jesus, that he literally hears our voice. We have access to him far greater than Verizon and T-Mobile, right? Come on now. Thank God for that. We don't have to worry about there being an interference in communication. The moment that you cry out to the Lord, he hears your voice. And this is what really blows me away. Out of everybody on the face of this earth, if everybody were to shout out the name of Jesus at the same time, he would still hear your voice. Come on now, that's some amazing power that our God has. And what a beautiful picture that he knows your voice, right? And so Jesus goes off and he spends some time praying. And I can just imagine that he was maybe saying things. We don't know exactly what his prayer was, but I believe it's safe to say that he was thanking God the Father for the miracle that just took place. He provided enough food with so little. Amazing miracle. I'm pretty sure he was praying for the crowd of people that came that day. Remember, as they arrived on shore, when they were supposed to have some R&R, they were supposed to be alone, yet Jesus looked at the multitude of the crowd of people, and it said that he had compassion upon them. And he looked at them as sheep without a shepherd. So I guarantee you that the Lord was praying for them. I'm pretty sure he was saying something along the lines, help them to see more than just the miracle. Help them to see more than I'm just a provider of food. Help them to see from the teaching that I gave them who I really am, and that there's only one place that they could ever be made right with God. I'm pretty sure he was praying for his own disciples. You know, for those of you who don't know this, there's a lot of times that we as a staff gather to pray for you. I am so thankful for many of you who approach me and say, Pastor, I pray for you every day. Please, please do not stop. Please don't do it. I am super blessed that you are praying for me because I need it. And the reality is that as he's praying for them, I'm pretty sure, listen carefully, they were still, for his disciples, unclear of who he was. And I'm pretty sure Jesus was praying, open up their eyes, allow them to see. But he also was praying, I believe, for what was ahead. And what is amazing to me is that no matter what you go through life, Jesus knows. And we're going to see some amazing encouragement throughout this portion of Scripture. But listen, as he prayed for them, he knew exactly what path both of these people would be in. And in verse 47, it says, now when evening came, now according to a Jewish time chart, this is considered the first watch of the night, which means it is roughly around 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. So as it's getting late, as evening has come, it tells us that the disciples were in the boat and they were in the middle of the sea. Now, Again, when Jesus told them to get into the boat to go to the other side of Bethsaida, the middle of the sea was nowhere in that route. Okay? They were completely off course, and the reason being is because they were fighting against the wind. Now, Mark kept it very general, but in the Gospel of Matthew, it tells us they were literally getting beat up by the wind in a similar situation as they were in the first storm. But listen, the difference was in the first storm they were in, who else was in the boat? Jesus. Who's in the boat now? Not Jesus. Not Jesus. He ain't there. Right? It's just the disciples. And so they're getting beat up, and it forced them from an easy sail, what they probably thought, we got this, no problem. We have fishermen on board. And yet now they're in the middle of the sea, way off course, struggling, fighting. And where is Jesus? On land. We also know that Jesus, not only though he was absent in their presence in the boat, listen, even though he may not have been there while he was still on land, Jesus was completely aware of what was going on. Okay? And I want you to think of this sight. Remember, it's 6 o'clock in the evening. Anywhere between 6 to 9 o'clock. Now, if you've gone to Israel, it's not that big of a the Sea of Galilee is not that big. You can literally look across it. But the reality is it's nighttime. There's no night lights. There's no street post. There's nobody's cell phone going off to give you light or putting on the little flashlight on your cell phone. Nothing. It was completely black, let alone being able to see maybe 3 to 4 to 5 miles. Yet Jesus saw what they were going through. And how do we know this to be true? Because of what it says in verse 48. Then he, speaking of Jesus, saw them straining at rowing. For him to see this amazing sight so far away, knowing exactly the wind was beating up against them. And I want us to kind of catch this picture. Do not leave this scene dark, pitch black, even on top of a mountain where Jesus was praying that he could literally see all of this going on. I pray that you would get this picture so ingrained in your heart of who God is and how much he loves you that he would be that concerned about you. And sure enough, as they are struggling, he could see all of this going down. He could see how far off course they went. And then it says, now about the fourth watch. And again, going back to a Jewish time chart, the fourth watch is between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. So catch this, beloved. From evening time to the fourth watch, these disciples could have been struggling against this storm for more than 8 hours. Fighting, going nowhere. And the reality is this, though they were struggling, some may look at this, go, man, that's a long time. How can Jesus be so mean? And just, was he just eating popcorn watching them? How come he didn't come to them immediately? And the reality is, some may look at this and say, Jesus is being mean. But I also want to point out here, there's nowhere in the passage that says the disciples were calling out to him. So what does that entail? What does that reveal to us? I got this. Husbands, when you're at home doing a home project and your wife asks you a question, did you make sure you measured that right? Woman, I got the tape bag. I got the measuring tape. I got this. Go on over in the living room. And once they leave, what do we do? Come on now. You know it's true. Just double checking. Good construction worker checks twice and cuts once. I got to get back to my message. Here we go. How could he not see? How could he not come? Isn't he being mean? But yet they never called out. Take note of that. And sometimes the reason why, in the midst of storms, in the midst of difficulty, a lot of us think that we're in control. A lot of us think we can handle this. A lot of us think, I don't need to bother God with this. I got it. And so what happens? Jesus kicks back? No. It says, in an unexpected way, Jesus came to them. Notice this. Jesus came to them. And this is powerful, beloved, because we've seen Jesus do some amazing miracles. Come on now. How many times have we read that he healed the sick? Right? Didn't matter. Blindness, paralyzed, fever, doesn't matter. Whatever illnesses, whatever things that were going on in people's bodies, he was able to heal them. He healed those who were possessed by whether one evil spirit or a legion of evil spirits. Come on now. How about this? The first storm again, Jesus spoke the words and he got up and he calmed the wind and the rain and the waves. And he said, stop, quiet down, be still. In other words, just go away, right? And what happened? The wind and the waves obeyed from his voice. Sure enough, he brought back to life a little girl by Jairus' daughter who was dead, prayed over her, and raised her back to life. He just fed over 5,000 people with 5 pieces of bread and 2 small fish. And here he is now, walking on water. Gosh, this is a powerful picture, because in their darkest hour, in their time of great struggle, Jesus came to them. And again, develop this picture with me, beloved, because the storm that was upon them, the storm that forced them way off course, listen, what was their struggle, catch this picture, was no struggle to Jesus. Come on now. He wasn't being affected by the circumstances that were happening. And when we look at this portion of Scripture and it says that Jesus would have passed them by, what does this mean? Did Jesus intentionally start walking on water and look at the boat? See you guys on the other side. Was that his intention? No. Listen, I love this resource. This is one of my main resources that I go to a lot. And it's called the Bible Knowledge Commentary. And one of the comments that it said was this. When it came to this particular verse, it said that Jesus' intention was not to bypass them, but to pass beside them, to come along their side. And the reality is, what it described in this portion of commentary is that it's called a theophany, which means that it's God presenting himself, manifesting himself in a sensible way. I want to bring up the definition of this word. Theophany, from the Greek word theophania. And if I didn't pronounce that right, remember, I'm not Greek, I'm Mexican. So there you have it. Okay? But it means, which means is the appearance of God, the manifestation of deity in a sensible form. And when we look at this portion of Scripture and what Jesus was doing, this was another picture, this was another opportunity for the disciples to see the power and the ability of who this Jesus is, to help them grow in their understanding of who he is. Because the reality is, when you look at some of these theophanies in the Old Testament, one that comes to mind is when God appeared before Moses. Okay? For the sake of time, I'm going to give you the scripture reference. But it's Exodus chapter 33, verses 19. It is when God was up on the mountainside with Moses, and Moses asked him very clearly, show me your glory. And God told him, you can't see me. You know, you can't see me in all of my full glory. But what I will do is I'm going to have you go into the cliff of this rock, and my hand's going to cover you, and I'm going to pass by you. See that? Pass by you. And when I am beyond you, I'm going to take my hand, and all you're going to get an opportunity to see is my back. That God manifesting himself in a sensible way to reveal who he is. But he was just going to pass beside Moses. For you ladies, are you enjoying your Bible study in the book of Elijah? Yes. Awesome. Oh, good. We got a clap. Way to go. Praise the Lord. Okay, ladies, here's one for you. After Elijah just whooped on 400 of Baal's prophets, he gets a little letter from this woman by the name of Jezebel. And what did the letter say? I'm going to kill you. And what does Elijah do? This man of God, this mighty warrior that just took care of 400 false prophets, he ran. He ran away, and he's hiding, and God calls out to him, what are you doing? And it says that the Lord passed by him. Wasn't in the wind, wasn't in the earthquake, it wasn't in the fire, but it was a still, small voice that God revealed himself to Elijah. And so the reality is this picture, again, I guarantee you, as the disciples are in this storm, they weren't thinking about, this is a theophany. I guarantee you they didn't think that. But again, Jesus would give them an opportunity to see who he is. Because I think all of us would agree, the only one who has complete control and authority over all creation is its creator. So what is this picture? What is this miracle that Jesus was hoping to give these disciples to see? Here it is. His desire was for them to see that he is God. Amen. It's an amazing picture of God's heart being revealed, and revealed in the most powerful way, because in the midst of the storm, isn't it true that we all need some good news? We all need some hope. And the reality is, Jesus' intention was not to bypass them and wave. It was meant to be there with them. And I want us to just kind of take a quick note, because not only did this picture come to them, did the disciples really get it? Well, in verses 49 to 50, they didn't. Because it says very clearly, when they saw him, speaking of Jesus, they supposed it was a ghost and cried out. They did not recognize that it was Jesus. They thought whatever is out there is a ghost. And let's just be real. Come on, family. If you're out in the middle enjoying, you know, a sail at night, and all of a sudden you see something walking towards you, you'd freak out too. Okay? Mark tells us they were troubled. That was a very polite general word. It was more than just being disturbed. It was more than just having a concern. They were panicking. They were freaked out, they were afraid, and though they didn't recognize Jesus, listen, Jesus immediately spoke up to help them, and listen carefully, bring relief, a word, my voice. You know, it's amazing what a voice can do for you. It's amazing when you hear, and especially like from a child to a father. Like growing up in a broken home, like it was no fun being alone. It was no fun, you know, as night came around and there's nobody in the house and every little noise sounds like an earthquake. You get freaked out. You see a shadow and you think it's a big tarantula and it's just an ant, right? Your imagination goes, but when you hear your father's voice, when I would hear my father's voice, had no fear, I had no worry. And Jesus immediately cried out to them, and he says, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. Hey, fellas, listen, fellas, it's me. I'm not a ghost. It's Jesus. You do not need to be afraid. Calm down. And sure enough, this is where I want to make a little side note, because Mark doesn't mention anything about what takes place next. But if you look at the other gospel account, especially in the Gospel of Matthew, it is here where Peter got out of the boat and actually walked on water. There was a whole conversation that went down. As he said, "Don't be afraid, it is I, Jesus," and Peter speaks up out of all the disciples and said, "Well, if it's really you, command me to come to you." And Jesus said, "Come." And I can just picture the other, 11, "Oh, this is going to be funny. Oh, here goes Peter once again. Always trying to do one over us. We're going to watch him sink." But here's the truth. He got out of the boat. He heard God's voice in the midst of his storm, and it gave him the ability to get out of the boat. Take a look at that picture. Don't ever forget it, because when you're going through it and you hear that familiar voice and it brings you comfort, you're going to follow that voice. And Peter got out of the boat. I don't know how many steps he took. I don't know if he had a little swag when he was doing it. I don't know if he looked around and go, "Ha ha." I don't know. But I do know this. He got out of the boat. Yep. Little cliffhanger. Let's get back to our story. Verse 51 tells us that the moment that Jesus spoke up, that he got into the boat. And I want you to notice this. The wind and the waves stopped. No more craziness. No more being tossed around like you're in a, washer machine. It was calm. And Jesus was in the boat. And here's another powerful picture. He didn't even have to say a word this time. It just stopped. So from walking on the water to getting into the boat to seeing the storm go away, and the disciples says here that they were amazed at what just happened, that they would marvel, that they would, could this really be happening? Speechless, don't even know what to say, but yet all of those feelings, all of those things that may have happened for a brief moment became a distraction, because at the end of this, notice what it says in verse 52, "For they had not understood about the loaves because their heart was hardened." How could they go from being utterly amazed at seeing this powerful miracle come before their eyes of Jesus walking on water, calming the sea, and now they're thinking back to how did Jesus really feed 5,000 people? And it says very clearly that their heart was hard. It just meant, listen, they still are confused. They still didn't get it. Can we just give them a little credit here? How many of us always get it? How many of us have ever woken up and spent time with the Lord and opened up his word and go, "What the heck did I just read?" You didn't get it. I didn't get it. Some of the times when people come ask me, "Hey, Pastor, what does this mean? You need to pray about that." I have no idea what it means. You need to listen to the Bible Answer Man. That's on, 88.1. Call in and get that info. Of course, I'll study afterwards and say what I think it is, but I don't always have the answer. And that's a good thing. I'm not God. He is. But the reality is, listen, they didn't understand. They were distracted once again. They missed out on this amazing opportunity to see who God was. But yet, after he got into the boat, verse 53 tells us what? When they had crossed over, they finally reached land. They came to the land of Gennesaret and anchored there. And I want to just read the rest of this passage, because it's pretty amazing. "And when they came out of the boat, immediately the people recognized him, ran through the whole surrounding region, and began to carry about on beds those who were sick, to wherever they heard he was. Wherever, listen carefully, he entered into villages, cities, or the country, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might just touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched him were made well. So Jesus continues after delivering them out of this storm. They anchor down. They go into the next surrounding villages, cities, and towns and marketplaces. And Jesus just continues to do ministry. And I want us to see this because we're getting to the point of our message where we need to make this personal. What's going to be our takeaway today? And beloved, I need to share this with you because, again, storms of life are coming. And these storms are trials, they're troubles, they're hardships, they're faith-shaking circumstances that come upon you that will cause you to doubt who your God is. They can be anything from illness. Maybe you've been healthy all your life and all of a sudden you go to a doctor and you find out you have a terminal illness. That's a storm. Came out of nowhere. It could be an accident that happens. We've had several families who have gone out on vacation. There were several, I believe it was early of last year, a pastor and his wife went on a vacation to go skiing, and their snowmobile rolled over, and both the pastor and the wife passed away. Those are storms. They come upon us. Loss of life. How about loss of a job? You've been working with this company for 20 plus years, and all of a sudden they say, we're coming across hard times, and we got to shrink down. Sorry. Here's your two-week notice, or here's your two-week severance pay. God bless you. That's a storm. How about this? You thought because you were a Christian, you're going to live life happily ever after, married forever until death do you part, and your spouse delivers you divorce papers. It happens, even with believers. That's a storm. Addictions. And it's not just the ones that you got to go outside in a corner to go buy. Prescription medication. All of these things, whether even pornography is an addiction. Some of you in here have been abused at a young age, whether men or female, been taken advantage of. Maybe you've had bad luck in relationships and over again, somehow they become a magnet to you. Those are storms. Persecution. Oh, you're a believer? Well, we'll test that. These are storms that are going to come. And here is the truth. Not every storm that will come upon you is because of disobedience. Remember that Jesus was the one who told the disciples to get into the boat and enter into this storm. So obedience will sometimes lead you into a storm. And if you are sincere in following the Lord, those storms will come. And it's not just the storms of life. We have an enemy who wants to shipwreck you. And I pray that you would help, it would help to understand that obedience is the best thing that we can do. And just like our passage, even though Jesus sent these disciples into storms, he is going to send us into storms. And when we hit these storms, I need you to hold on to this truth, that this storm has a purpose. Now, some of you might be saying, well, Pastor Jerry, can God share the love because I'm tired of my storm? I get you. I hear you. But the reality is this. You may not understand it. You may not like the pain it is bringing you. But God does not waste any storms that you are in. God will never allow these to go to waste. So when these storms of life come upon us, God uses them to bring a greater purpose in your life. I want to encourage us to see this in God's word. Turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, looking at verse 1. We need to do this pretty quick. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Can we say amen to that?
Amen.
Because of what Jesus did, we have now been made right with God and we're at peace with God. Notice this. Through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Now that we're in a right relationship with God, now that he's opened up our eyes to see we're just pilgrims passing through, not only is he walking with us through this time here on this earth, but we have a future reward, and that's to be with him for all eternity. He's saying, praise the Lord for that, right? Would have been nice if there was a period. And the end of story, Paul wouldn't have gone further. Notice verse 3, and not only that, comma, we also glory in tribulation. No, I don't think so, Paul, right? We don't like, none of you are praising the Lord when your car gets stolen. None of you stop and go, thank you, Jesus. Verse 3, not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation, listen carefully, produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. There is a purpose for the tribulation. There is a purpose for the storms that you and I are going to go through. And again, if you look at this in context, now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Keep it all in context. When you go through storms, God has a greater purpose. Don't just focus on the storm. And the reality is today I want to give us a couple of things to remember, because during your storm, in those times of difficulty, trials, troubles, the Lord, listen carefully, is praying for you. That would have been a good time for an amen.
Amen.
Too late, too late. You missed it, you missed it. Just as Jesus went up on the mountain, Romans chapter 8, verse 34 tells us, at this very moment, as he sits at the right hand of God, he is making intercession for you. He is praying for you. Again, this is what blows me away. When you, listen, how many of you people agree with me that there's a lot of people on this earth? Yeah, a lot. And when you think of the amount, I don't even know the number. I can't even say the number, even if you put it on the screen. But out of all the people on the face of this earth, he knows you. He knows your name. He knows your height. For us little wee people, he knows everything about us. And here, can we just be real? Because I think we all know ourselves. And have you ever wondered, how could God love me? Because I know who I am. And I know how many times I blow it. I know how many times I've done things that are against God's word. And yet he still loves you and knows you and hears when you call. And he is the one that is praying for you. Hang on to that. Hang on to that. Not only is he praying for you, but in the midst of the storm, though you may not feel his presence while you're in the storm, listen carefully, the Lord sees you. He sees your struggles. He sees your needs before you do. And he sees everything that you are going through. Beloved, know this, because I think I will be very transparent. There's been times when I have asked the Lord, really? Lord, why? Lord, why? Why now? Why did you bring this now? I can question. That's why I told you all, pray for me, okay? And the reality is this is what we need to hold on to, that in your darkest time, in your most difficult struggle, he hasn't forgotten you. He sees you. And what does he see? Everything. He sees everything. Again, how do I know that? Turn your Bibles really quickly to Psalm 139. Psalm 139, notice verse 7 to verse 12. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in your uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. God sees you, and no matter how far you think you may be, no matter how much in the storm you've been blown off course, no matter if you're struggling in the middle of your storm, he sees you. And not only does he see you, the next thing I want us to remember is during the storm, the Lord is willing to come to you. Psalm 46, verse 1 tells us that he is our very present time. He is present in our very time of need. And the reality is no matter how big your storm is, no matter what troubles come upon you, the difficulties that are, they're never going to be bigger than Jesus. Jesus himself, listen, as he enters into your storm, he is the only one that can bring you peace. And the reason why is because of what he said in John chapter 16, verse 33. He is the one who has overcome the world. This is why he can bring you peace. You know, it's so funny, or not funny, but I just want to bring this to life. I'm going to pick on my daughter, Jessica. She's sitting in the front row. But when we were in the Philippines and we would have tropical storms, our house had a metal roof. So whenever a storm would hit, it literally just vibrated in our home. The noise was crazy loud. And they were small, 4 or 5 years old. So whenever it rained, it's like at night, we could hear them crying. And I would go to the door and I'd say, it's okay, you girls can go to sleep. Do you want to come sleep with mom and daddy? And before I could even finish, man, they were in the bed. And as they would lay next to us, I could feel, whether it was Jesse or Danny, I could feel their little heartbeat just beating a mile a minute. And because I was beside them, because I was there holding them, what was going a mile a minute became slower and slower because of my presence, because I was beside them. And when Jesus came beside them in this passage, his same desire is to come beside you, so that he can reveal to you who he is. And he is far greater than any wind. He is far greater than any wave. He's far greater than any addiction. He's far greater than any depression. He's far greater than anything that this culture can confuse you in. He is far greater than any of these movements out there that are causing people fear. He is greater than all things. Amen. And he is the one who wants to come along your side. God has made a promise. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And the last thing I want to encourage us with when we're going through our storms, the Lord desires to deliver you. God had much more of a desire here. Jesus had more of a desire than just to relieve them from this storm. He wanted them to really know who he was. And there's a far greater storm that we're going to experience in this life than just issues of life. It is the storm of the penalty of sin that is upon all of us. This is why Jesus came to come alongside of us, to walk on the face of this earth. For what reason? To save us. Notice in the exact same way in our passage that the moment he got into the boat, everything became calm. They reached the other side and they anchored down. They got off of the boat. Their storm was gone. And they went out and continued to do ministry with the Lord. And beloved, I just need to say this because I think this is an important thing. I believe with all my heart in this room right now, there are many of you that are facing storms that have come upon you and they just don't seem to go away. I believe with all my heart you have been struggling and it's longer than 8 hours. Some of you have been struggling for years. Some of you have been very faithful in praying for God to deliver. Some of you have been very faithful. And listen, I understand there's been more, you know, there's been good days and there have been some really bad days where one day you're completely okay and the next you question. And I get that. And if this is you throughout the years and everything that you've been doing, can I encourage you with this? I praise God that you're still here. I may never understand it. And a lot of other people may not understand it. There's some ugly diseases out there. There's ugly things that are happening with people. And I may not understand it, but God does. And what I know, to be honest with you, is that if this storm is upon you, can I remind you to hang on to these four things? God's praying for you. God sees you. God's going to come to you. And God will deliver you. There will be a deliverance. Amen, amen. But until that day comes, could I also challenge you with this? That maybe he has a desire for you. And your storm and your situation and what God's purpose is that you would live out 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, where Paul himself would pen these words and he would thank God for the way that God ministered to his heart through his suffering. And he says very clearly in this passage, in the way that God has comforted me, may I now go out and comfort others who are going through the exact same trial. The exact same suffering. So if you find yourself sitting down next to somebody doing chemotherapy because you have cancer, maybe the purpose is far greater than just what you have to suffer. But maybe it is that God would want to use you to minister to the person next to you who has no hope. Turn your storm into a God stance. Turn your storm into a way that God can use you to bring comfort to others. In the way that God has comforted you, comfort others. Maybe there's some of you in this room right now. You're in another boat. And what boat is that? Maybe you've been trying to overcome the storms in your life in your own strength. Maybe you're just like the disciples here of being out in the middle of nowhere, off course, battling, staying in the boat, rowing, fighting against the wind, and completely off course, going nowhere, and yet never once called out to the Lord. And I want to just encourage you, if this is you, let me ask you this sincere question. How's it working for you? Because the reality is when you try to do things in your own strength, there's an ugly cycle that happens. You may do good for 3-4 months, and then all of a sudden that old nature comes creeping back up and takes over, and you find yourself back to zero again. And this ugly cycle continues to happen. Why? Because you're trying to do it in your own strength. I got this. I got a boat. I got a row. I know what to do. I got this. And the reality is, my heart to you, you have nothing. You're not in control. And that storm will do like any other storm out there. It will toss you around. It will go into your boat, and any storm that you witness brings destruction. And I believe with all my heart, there's no accidents here today. It's not an accident that you're here to hear this message. God knew you would be here. And what is God's desire? To pass alongside by you, to come and to enter your boat. But here's the thing about God. He will never force his way into your boat. He won't do it. You need to welcome him. And I'm going to take it one step further, because I believe with all my heart, there's some that are hearing this right now and going, I need more than that. I need more than that if I'm going to believe in Jesus. Really? Well, here's this. Remember Peter? Remember the cliffhanger? I'm bringing him back. Maybe it's you who need to get out of the boat. For you, your boat is your safety net. For you, your boat is your parents. For you, your boat is your job. For you, your boat is whatever it is that you think is your security, but yet it's still not going anywhere. Maybe it's time for you to get out of the boat. Do you realize, again, it's no accident that you are here? God, if he was able to speak out to you, he would say the exact same thing that he told Peter. Come. Bring what you got. Bring it all, because I'm the one who can clean it up. But are you willing to get out of the boat? And what is amazing to me, it doesn't matter if you're walking 15 years, 2 years, brand new believer. If you've been even walking with the Lord for 30 years, some of you still need to get out of the boat. We come here week after week. And we come and we open up God's word. And like I said, there are many of you going through storms. And I don't take this lightly. And I don't believe that there's no ill will. There's no reason why you cannot say, that's me. Because when you're in the boat, you may think that's what you need. But it's Jesus who is the solution to all of it. And when he is in your boat, he leads you to where you can anchor down. It's not you. It's him. So I want to challenge you this morning. If this is you, I want you to stand on up and get out of the boat. Come to the altar. Come before the Lord, and let's give Jesus your storm. And I'm not going to have the worship team come up and play music. This is a moment between you and God. I'm telling you right now, there are some of you in here who need to get out of the boat. Come. When we do this together as a family, there's great strength. There is great opportunities for us to see the body of Christ come together and be that support for each other. I know for a fact in the midst of their storm, there was not just one person rowing. There was a group of men who came alongside and helped each other. This is what the body of Christ should be. None of us in here have it together. We all need Jesus because those storms are coming. And it's time for us now to give him our storm and let him lead. Father, I come before you and I'm so thankful for these that have stood forward, that have a desire to get out of the boat and to come, Lord. That they have a desire for their arms to be reached out to you and to welcome you into their storm, Lord. And as you are here, as your Holy Spirit is being poured out right now, Lord, you are the one that gave them the ability to come forward. And even as Peter got out of the boat and he took his steps, Lord, they took these steps. And Lord, as they are looking to you, would you guide them through every one of their storms? Would you help them in their time of need? Would you be that hand if they feel that they're just losing it, that you would pick them up and bring them back where they need to be? And the truth is that we all need to anchor down on you, Jesus. We need you. So would you please pour out your spirit upon every one of these hearts? And maybe there's still some that are sitting that should be up here. Lord, you know every heart. You see every heart. So God, I pray you would still bless them. But the reality is we just need to give you our heart. And when we give it to you, when we give our storms to you, you're the one that leads us and delivers us one day at a time. So God, I pray in the power of your precious name, fill my brothers and sisters with more of you. Pour out your spirit upon them. And in the times of their storms, may they hold on to that truth that you are praying, that you see, that you're coming, and your desire is to deliver. God, be their strength in every one of these areas and give them the victory. Give them the ability to overcome these storms and to continue, Lord, to keep their eyes locked on you. God, I pray for each and every one of them. Wrap your arms around them and love on them. Lord, fill them and empower them, Lord, to be your witnesses today. And it's in Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Listen, for those of you who are standing here, I just want you to go over with Josh for a few minutes. He's going to walk you into the hallway there, and we just want to be able to be available for you, to pray for you, if you want more just connection with people, if you want to just get with another couple of people, we want to help. We don't want you just to come up here and say, I prayed. We need each other. So whatever we can do to come along your side, along with Jesus, and help you, Josh is going to get your information, and we can continue to help in this process. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Go ahead and go with them. Worship team, go ahead and come forward. Or actually, no, sorry. I'm sorry, I just couldn't let that moment go. I want to encourage every single one of you, please listen really quickly. Whether your life is going well, there's a storm coming. And I pray that you would hang on to this message. I pray that you would know we as a church, as a body of Christ, want to be here to walk alongside of you as well. So I hope and pray you guys know that love for you is here. And we want to see every family being ministered to and cared for. And that means even those who are wearing 49er jerseys. I love you guys. Pray that God blesses your Sunday. Please be polite for those who are trying to get into the parking lot. God bless you all and have a wonderful Sunday.